Well, I'll have to say that this week it looks a whole lot better looking that way than it did last week. Numbers are up quite a bit. I wouldn't be so bold as to say that we've got this virus flu thing and everything all licked yet. We still got a few out because of it, but we got a lot of people back this morning, got visitors this morning, and we're certainly to have you. And what better day to make a New Year's resolution that if you don't have a regular place to go to church, come here. We'll be glad to have you to come here and worship with us. So we're glad to have everybody with us this morning to start a new year. Amen to Alan's prayer this morning, and hey, it's good to have him back in the saddle again, and this is the first time he's done that for a little while on account of his problems that he had last year, and I'm sure he and a lot of the rest of us are looking forward to a better year than we had last year, so it'd be a good time to do that. One of the things that that we do and that we say is that we have, and we talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning, is how we've all got little sayings. Maybe we heard them from our parents, or maybe we've heard them all our lives. Greg heard one this morning, the apple don't fall far from the tree. You've heard that. One of the answers was this morning, like mother, like daughter. Like father, like son. We've got all these little sayings. English professors will tell you those are idioms. That's not one of the regular words in my vocabulary, but anyway, that's what we call them. The little sayings that we have. And I noticed that we've got one. That's what we're going to use this morning. And I've said one thing. But have you ever noticed, and probably we don't even notice this when we do it, we'll say something. If we want to be in a fag about something, we'll say, I'll tell you one thing. And hardly ever do we want to tell somebody one thing. But I think that what we really mean is that we want this one thing to stand out more than anything else. We'll say things like this. We'll say, well, I'll say this one thing. And it's not really that we want to say one thing. We've got probably a whole lot more on our minds than just that one thing. But I want to use that this morning. What we usually probably mean is that we want this one thing to stand out more than anything else. That number one, they call it the loneliest number. But we use that more than we do anything else. Number one. By the way, who is number one in basketball? Anybody know that?
Team up in Lexington.
I believe it is. They're one and two. Yay. Duke's number three. If anybody heard that, the Duke is one and two. First, two, and second. Duke's number three. I think it's something like that. But that's one thing. And that's what we're doing. And I want to share a few of them with you this morning. I've only got four up here on the board. But I believe that each one of them does make its point. I started off with, one thing thou lackest. Now, somebody might say, well, that sounds kind of pessimistic to start the new year on. One thing thou lackest. But I found this one in Mark chapter 10, and in verse 21 in particular. Then Jesus, beholding him, he was talking about this man that had come to him, and he said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatever thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now what prompted Jesus to do that? Why would he say to a person, one thing thou lackest? Well, this was in response to a man that had come to him and asked him what he needed to do in order to go to heaven. And he thought he was in pretty good shape. No doubt he thought he was in pretty good shape. But he wasn't perfect.
Or Jesus wouldn't have said to him, "One thing thou lackest." I wonder how we would take it this morning if somebody said that to us. If somebody said to us, to each one of us on an individual basis, "One thing thou lackest." There's one thing that in your life that you haven't come up to par on. I believe that probably most of us would take that to be an offensive statement. And the reason for it is because really deep down in our heart, most of the time we don't want to be criticized. We take that as a criticism. We already know that we're not perfect. We don't have to have somebody to tell us, "Hey, you're not perfect." We already know that. We know that we've got our faults. But if somebody just came to you and said, "One thing thou lackest," I wonder how we would take it. I wonder how this young man, what he thought. I don't think that he was happy to hear that. And the reason was, as the next verse said, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved because he had great possessions." He didn't like it. He didn't want to hear that. He thought he was in pretty good shape. He didn't know what Jesus' answer was going to be. But Jesus told him all these things. He said, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness," and so forth. And he said, I don't have a problem there. I've kept all these." Another gospel says, "I've kept all these from my youth up." In other words, I've never been guilty of these things. Now, that seems a little presumptuous to me. Does it to you? It does to me, because when I hear a person say, "I've never done anything wrong in my life," I'm skeptical already. You ever heard that about George Washington? George Washington never told a lie in his whole life. You heard that about George Washington? Well, I think that's a lie. I think that's what I would think himself. I cannot believe that a man, a human being, a mortal man, never told a lie in all his life. Maybe that's because I told something. And I relate to that. I relate to that. And to think that George Washington never told a lie. I've got a lot of respect for George Washington, but I don't believe he never told a lie. And so I'd say, "One thing thou lackest," and that's telling the truth. "One thing thou lackest." Now, I think that each one of us have got different shortcomings, but that don't mean that we don't have shortcomings. Mine may be different from yours, and yours may be different from somebody else, but say one thing thou lackest. And so as we approach this new year, and as we go into this year, maybe we ought to give ourselves a self-examination. Not an examination from me to you. You don't need for me to come to you and say, "One thing thou lackest." You don't need to hear that from me. I may not even know what thou lackest, but you do. We all know what our own shortcomings are. And maybe that's the thing that we need to work on for next year. So I want to encourage you this morning to follow this thing that Jesus said, but let's put it in the context of personal nature. What is the one thing that we need to work on? Many of us might say, "Well, there's several things that I can work on." And that's a good attitude to have. But there may be one thing that stands out above all else. Sometimes we put that in the form of a New Year's resolution. And so, "One thing that thou lackest." This young man right here, there was one thing that he lacked. I look at him and I think, here's a man with wealth, with social rank, authority. He practiced his religion. He was a moral person. What could you possibly find wrong with someone like that? I think that he was so near and yet so far. And the reason I think that he's far is because he didn't follow Jesus. He didn't go with him. And that's about as far from Christ as you can get. He was so good and yet so bad. He was so rich and yet so poor so wise and yet so foolish. Jesus was justified in saying, one thing thou lackest. The second point that I put up on the screen this morning is, this one is one thing is needful. Now that's a little bit different than one thing thou lackest. And we want to go to Luke chapter 10. I want to read this one to you especially. Luke chapter 10, and this is found in verse 42. And here's what the scripture says concerning this. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now this is the story where Jesus has gone down to the house of Mary and Martha. We all know that story, Lazarus. And this is the story where Martha is in there in the kitchen. She's preparing a meal for those, Jesus and others, that were there with them. And she's really in there working and doing what she ought to do, or what she thinks she ought to do as the hostess. And yet her sister, Mary, is not helping her. She's sitting in there with Jesus and, shall we say, with the men, listening to what Jesus says. And she comes in there, and I can see that she's kind of upset. Ladies, would you be? And she says to Jesus, make her help me. I'm in here doing all this by myself, all this cooking and setting the table and getting everything ready. And here she sits in here listening to her. She's not doing a thing to help. Now, maybe most of us would look at Jesus and we say, now what's he going to say to her? And the thing that he said to her is, one thing is needful. He's not talking about Mary, he's talking about Martha, the one that's making the complaint. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good, which cannot be taken away from her. In other words, Martha, you could use a little of that yourself. You're not perfect either. How is it that you would go into somebody's house and make that kind of statement? We might think within ourselves that it would not be appropriate to say that in somebody else's house, and yet we see Jesus doing that. One thing is needful. She's a good hostess. She's got so many things that are in her favor. No doubt she's a good cook. She's a good housekeeper. But I'm thinking that she is thinking, you know, Mary, my sister, ought to be just like me. She ought to be a good housekeeper. She ought to be a good cook. She ought to be in there helping me. And maybe Jesus could see that attitude in her heart. And like he said to the young man, one thing thou lackest, he says to her, one thing is needful. There's something you need. And I want to ask you this morning, is there something in your life that you really need that you don't have, that you think maybe you've got right now, but it's really needful in your life? And again, it's a self-examination. It's not something that I need to tell you or someone else needs to tell you, but it's a self-examination. One thing is needful. And then the third one that I put on the board this morning is, one thing I know. How many times have we said that? This is nothing new. One thing I know. And this is taken from John chapter 9, another gospel. John chapter 9 and verse 25. And I want to read that one to you as well. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. This is in response to Jesus having healed a blind man, and some of the so-called religious people of that day took offense at it because it's on the Sabbath day. And they were trying everything that they could think of to downgrade Jesus, to say something about Jesus, to throw doubt in what Jesus' ability to heal was. And they asked this man's parents. And then they asked this man. And they say about this man right here, this Jesus Christ, he don't play by the rules. He's not the kind of person that we are as Pharisees. There's a lot that he, under the law of Moses, he don't keep the law of Moses. He eats with sinners. He associates with people who are sinners. He's just not the, as religious as he ought to be. What are you doing associating with him? We say that he's a sinner. But this man, he says back to them, he said, I don't know this man. I never saw this Jesus Christ before in my life. I don't know anything. He may be a sinner for all I know. He makes no judgment on Jesus at all. There's a lot of things that he does not know about Jesus, but he says this. One thing I do know. Have you ever said that? One thing I know. We've all said it. He said, one thing I know. I was blind, and now I can see. Looks to me like he was going for the results. I think that's what people want to see in our Christian life today. We can do a lot of preaching and we can do a lot of talking, but people want to see results in our Christian lives today. We can stand on the street corner or anywhere else and we can do like the Pharisees did and we can make judgments about other people. But I don't think that's where the results come from. The results come from what they see in our lives. He said, one thing I know, I was blind, now I can see. And that tells me something about Jesus Christ. And I don't think that there's any other way around. You got to wonder what went through those Pharisees' heads when he said that. When this man said that, one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. And then the last one that I want to share with you. This one is found right in what you're all going to be studying in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says this. He said, one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me, and I reach forth unto the things which are ahead of me. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. One thing I do. Well, that wasn't the only thing Paul did. Nobody will ever make me that. That's the only thing that we can remember about the Apostle Paul. I think of a lot of good things about the Apostle Paul. I can remember when he was on the road to Damascus. And how he was converted, how he went on into the city and he was baptized by a man whose name was Ananias. I remember how the Apostle Paul started preaching. I know that he started no telling how many different congregations. I know that he followed up on congregations that had been started by somebody else and how Paul went behind them and he supplemented the things that were said. He made 4 missionary journeys. No telling that the writings that Paul had, so many of them we have in our Bible today, the letters that he wrote and encouraging other people. How could Paul said one thing I do? He did so many more things, but he said one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me. That's Paul saying I haven't been perfect. As a matter of fact, I can recall one time, and he said, when it comes to sinners, I'm the chief. That's how he described himself. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Why did he say that? Well, he said that because there was an occasion there in the city of Jerusalem where they were stoning a Christian man whose name was Stephen. And Paul stood there, and he held the coats of the ones that was doing the stoning. Thought he was doing the right thing. Later on, it was shown to him that it was the wrong thing, that he was in sin, that he was doing what God did not want him to do. And that prompts him to say right here, one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind me. You know, 2014 is gone. There's not one single thing, good or bad, that we can reach back and change about 2014. Don't waste your time. Don't lose any sleep over 2014. It's gone and you can't help it and you can't change it. Paul said, one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. There's a lot of good memories about 2014. Not anything wrong with remembering those things, but even those good memories is not anything that you can do to change it. One thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me and reach forth. My friends, that's what we need to do here at Mount Zion this year. We've got a good history here at Mount Zion. We've got some good memories here at Mount Zion, but there's not one thing we can do is reach back behind us and change anything. Good or bad. But what we can do is we can reach forth. That's what Paul said he was doing. One thing I do, I reach forth unto the things which are ahead of me. No reason that we can't reach forth into the new year, 2015. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. We've got a high calling here at Mount Zion. Our high calling is to keep ourselves faithful to the Lord in the church, in Jesus Christ. That's our high calling, to set the proper example for other people and try to persuade people who are not Christians to become Christians. That's our high calling. One thing I do. One thing Mount Zion needs to do. There's a lot of things we need to do. Not just one thing. But that one thing, I'll tell you one thing. If there is one thing that we need to do here at Mount Zion, it is to convert sinners to Jesus Christ. That's our high calling. One thing we need to do. That's above everything else. Be a good Christian. Be a good husband. Be a good wife. Be a good family member. Be here to church for the services. There's good things that we can do. But the highest calling that we have is to help persuade those that are not Christians to be Christians. And to help them to live a Christian life. One thing I do. This is what Paul said. Is there one thing this morning that keeps you from being a Christian? Just one thing? Tell you a little story and then we'll conclude the lesson.
There was a man one time by whose name was Ahab. And Ahab was a king, and Ahab had a palace, and there was a farm that joined. Many farmers in the audience this morning, make all the gifts for a farm to join. And Ahab wanted that farm because it had been here on it, great vineyard. And I can picture this, even though the Bible, I'm going to take a little liberty here in describing this scene. I can just see Ahab late in the evening going out to the palace, going out, standing out on the porch and looking down on this farm. And it became an obsession with him. He wanted that farm worse than anything else that can work. Now here's a man that was rich. He had influence. He had servants. He had respect. He was an evil man himself. But he had all. What else could anybody possibly want to have all the money he could ever spend? But he wanted that piece of land. He wanted that farm. And so he goes to the landowner whose name is Naboth, and he says, Naboth, I did admire this farm here, and I'd like to buy it from you. Naboth said, well, it's my own home place. And he said, I don't want to sell it. And he said, yes, but I want it. It joins me, and I'll tell you what I'll do. You just name the price. I'll pay it. And if the money's not it, he said, I'll find you a better farm, a better piece of land someplace else, and you can have that. I'll see that it gets done. And Naboth said, I don't want to sell it. I just don't want to sell it. And the Bible says that Ahab went home, went in his bedroom, lay down on his bed, turned his face to the wall, wouldn't eat his supper. And his wife, old Jezebel, the wickedest woman in the Bible, she comes in and she said, Ahab, what's the matter with you? And he said, I've been trying to get Naboth to sell me that farm, he won't do it. I've tried everything. I've tried to give him money. I've tried to get him another farm. He just won't even talk to me. She said, you're the king. What do you mean you can't have that? You're the king. You can have anything you want. The king, he deserves it all. I'll get you the farm. Don't you worry about it. I'll get you the farm. And she got him the farm. And he allowed her to do that. And I look at that story and I think, what is the matter with that man? Well, I look at it and I see one thing. And that's what it was going to take to make him happy. And I wonder, as I look at myself, is there one thing that keeps me from being happy? If I just had that farm, I'd be happy. Well, he got it. And God told his prophet, he said, you make sure that you tell Ahab the day is coming that where Naboth got killed, Jezebel had him killed, that he'll lose his blood in the same spot. And guess what? It happened just like that prophet said that it did, and formed into the baby. All over one thing. That'll be a lesson to each one of us here, not this morning, that if there's one thing that keeps us from serving God the way that we need to serve God, we need to get rid of that one thing. Need to abolish that one thing. If there's one thing that's standing in your way from becoming a Christian, get rid of that one thing. And let them be nothing in your way. Are you here this morning? Is there something that we can do to help you in your quest for heaven? Well, I was saying, okay, welcome.
There's a battle.